Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th, with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow, I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Fightful Faithful, and welcome to the Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chase. And today, it's a bit of an odd setup, I know. I am joined by Benno from Grapple, who is with me in Toronto before we head to Forbidden Door, New York, tomorrow. Hello, Benno. How are you?
I'm good. Excited to be in Toronto. Got a cup of Tim Hortons here, which is the proper Canadian stuff. So, yeah. Excited to preview the card. I think if we start now, we'll probably be done in about 4 hours, based on it.
Because we have a flight in, about 20 hours or so?
Yep.
So we're hoping to make that flight. We're hoping to get through this mammoth Tony Khan card. But it's great to have you here in Toronto, Benno. And, yeah, I wonder if there's ever been a stream on here with two people sitting in the same place.
Excited.
But please, everyone, let us know that you can hear us. Oh, we've got Platt in the chat. Benno's bringing
all the Grapple people
here. Hello.
We're going to be shifting merch. We've got a live show coming up on the Grapple Patreon in a bit. So we're not going to go full Friday Night Wars here, but we're going to try and be done in enough time before those guys get started.
Keep your plugs till the end. Keep your plugs till the end. Okay, guys, Forbidden Door. It's a big show, and we want your predictions. So, sorry, that was my phone. Feel free to send us in super chats, leave the comments. I want to know what you've got to say about Forbidden Door. But as always, here, I probably wouldn't be here or wouldn't be as lucrative if it wasn't for our lovely sponsors over on Bet Online. So, our overlord, Sean Mossap, is going to now tell you about Bet Online.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of, all major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. betonline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
BetOnline.ag. Benno, have you ever made any money betting on wrestling?
Yes, I used to do better back in the day when Vince McMahon was booking, and it was very predictable. Mm-hmm. Those WrestleManias in the UK, we can do accumulators. I cleaned up a lot of years, so yeah,
nice.
It's good to know that that's still a thing you can do. I'm interested as well. I said it was a Friday Night War. I'm pretty sure Sean's on another video right now with Donovan Dijak. So somehow he's in two places at once. Mm-hmm. He's going full Shane McMahon, I think.
He is. Okay, we've got some great people in the chat. Hello to Gareth. Hello to Andy Ogden. Hello, Scott. Wow, Benno, bringing the people here.
Good to see.
Forbidden Door, before we get into it, 13-match card. Mm. We are going to be in there, in that arena, for hours. And hours and hours. How do you feel about the length of the show? Because I said some things on Twitter yesterday that, a bit of disagreement. But for you, what do you think of this mammoth card?
I've seen your comments. You're getting a lot of grief for being British again, which we should clarify that you're not. I'm the British one.
You're British, I'm Irish.
Well, we do a lot of complaining in the part of the world that we're in. But I always think I'm a bit of an exception in that I'm quite happy to stay up till 6 a.m. watching AEW Mega Cards. Mm-hmm. I'm quite happy to still be sat there while you're stuck in a room with Tony Khan while he's doing the the media scrums. With the rest of the great the wrestling media, and I love that. And I think the longer, almost the better. Although I will critique it when the way the cards are laid out, and there's often lulls, and there's always better ways you can do it. I'm actually more worried being there in person. Like, I don't want to sound spoiled, because we're so lucky we're going to Forbidden Door this weekend, and then next weekend we're going to Money in the Bank. But of the two shows, I think Money in the Bank's probably going to be a slightly better live experience, just because you know it's going to be shorter.
Yeah.
Whereas for Forbidden Door, the matches are going to be better. Mm-hmm. No question about that. But I'm just one of them people. I'm going to be wanting to get up between every match to go for a drink or a walk, or, you know, sitting in an arena seat for that amount of time. Like, yeah, we've done it a couple of times. Vegas Double or Nothing a couple of years ago was a long one. What else did we do last year? Full Gear.
Even All In at Wembley was a long one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was good, though, because there were so many empty seats in the top area. I moved around like 3 or 4 different seats across the day. So as long as I can move around, I'm quite happy. But I do feel a little bit bad for the people in Europe who'll be up very late, who aren't used to it like I am.
For me, my critique of the length of the show did come from, one, the live experience, but also because I had some people saying, hey, AEW shows have always been really long, so why are you complaining? Mm. But I do think that needs to change, because we're getting more pay-per-views a year now. So Double or Nothing wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And we have All In and All Out coming up. So I think these shows, they need to be condensed a little more. Mm. I like how Triple H is booking in WWE, and it's like 5 matches, and it's not every single storyline that you're seeing every week on Raw and SmackDown having a match at the pay-per-view.
Mm.
Whereas Tony's like getting everyone on the card. And I think it's, if New Japan was like in a higher place and the Forbidden Door concept was as exciting as it used to be, then I would get the show being longer. But I think we're at the point, maybe that's just a critique of the whole concept, with where New Japan is, with the fact that Okada, Ospreay, Jay White now work for AEW.
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like just like throwing matches out there.
Yeah. It's funny when Indy starts to move towards the monthly pay-per-view concept. Like, for me, I thought, it would be shorter monthly pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. It might force the booking to be a little bit tighter. Maybe we've seen that over the last 3 weeks or so. And I actually don't mind. Like, if you've got your big traditional events, your Double or Nothings, your Forbidden Doors, like, if there was ever a show that was literally for the sickos, it's this one.
This is for the
so I think you can get away with going longer. Yeah. To your point, when you're doing it every month and there was another long pay-per-view last month and there's going to be another long pay-per-view the month after, mm-hmm. that's when you run into trouble. As Ed's saying there in the chat, a Sunday night is a hard ask too. You know, when it's a Saturday, that's a different kettle of fish as well. I think people are definitely more willing to stay up late on a Saturday.
Yes, thank you to Ed Parham, who sent $4.99 super chat. All AEW pay-per-views really need to be a Saturday pay-per-view. Too long, super rough to sit through when you work on a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. When they first started, Saturday pay-per-views was a really good idea, especially for us in the UK. Not that I'm in the UK anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're going to start with the pre-show matches. And we have number one. Oh, we're getting an extra long pre-show as well.
Yep.
Chris Statlander and Momo Wanatabe. I'm sorry if I butchered that. Versus Willow Nightingale and Tam Nakano. Mm. This is one of 4 women's matches on the card, which is usually another thing that Tony doesn't do, is put a lot of women's matches on. What is your prediction for this one?
Yeah, it's definitely a positive that there's, definitely been more place put on women's matches here. It's a good selection of wrestlers as well. So I expect, again, I think the crowd are going to be hotter during 0 hour for these matches, which are just going to have to be short. I presume Tam Nakano and Willow Nightingale go over to keep the momentum going with Willow, but a heel win for Chris Statlander doesn't seem entirely impossible either. I think people who haven't seen her are going to be blown away by Momo Watanabe as well. Yeah. So there's that too. But I'd probably go with the Willow team, but I don't know. What's
you? I'm going with Chris. I'm going with Chris and Momo just because I think Willow, such a great underdog baby face. I can kind of see Chris and Stokely just kind of breaking her down even more for just a great baby face comeback in general in the storyline. But I do think this will be a really good match, and it's a really Yeah. It's a really good team up to see Momo and Tam Napanel on the card.
I like Platt says here, you can do a little bit of story here potentially. Yeah. If you do put the heels over, yes. You can then get Willow got a big final revenge on Chris.
Yeah, she has to beat Chris at the end, but I think there's more story to tell here, which is good. Sticking with the women, up next, Mariah May versus Soraya. Mariah for me for this one. I think she's gonna win, and I want her to win. More importantly, what about you?
Am I allowed to swear?
Yes, you're allowed to swear.
The match is gonna be shite because Soraya's in it, but Mariah May's been incredible in AEW and has done great character work as well. So yeah. I think people will be invested in it. It does feel like they see more value in Soraya because All In is around the corner,
which is.
I know, as you know, Brits and Irish, we know, but I do think they might want to lean in that direction and go with Soraya's, like try and do the big homecoming babyface thing again, which did last year.
Mariah's British.
But Mariah is the more over character.
If we're going to do a, like, you know, British homecoming, Mariah deserves it.
I don't think they'll do that with her. I think they'll have something planned with her and Toni Storm, but whether it peaks at Wembley or not, I don't know. But yeah, maybe Soraya's a red herring there.
I hope so. And it's, you know, Pride Month as well. So another reason why Soraya should lose.
Wow. Okay.
I should probably explain that. Like, just check her boyfriend's Twitter. He's not down for everyone. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have representing Los Ingobernables de Japón, Yonatushi, Titan, and Hiromu versus the Lucha Brothers, Penta, Rey Fénix, and Místico. I'm really happy to see Hiromu on the show.
Yeah.
Didn't he get sick last year and the first year he wasn't on it? Yeah. Love Hiromu. Who have you got for this one?
Yeah, I think I've got match of the night. Okay. Most likely. Again, depending on time, I was half disappointed when I saw this was on the pre-show and not the main show.
Yeah, there's some other things they could have switched around.
Yeah, and I love that Rocky Romero's, you know, worked as his magic here, Penta and Fénix being in their team with Místico. I know they're not currently contracted with AAA, but that's a cool thing to see. I love the team of Hiromu, Titan, and Yota Tsuji, so I'd love to see them go over. Penta's in contract season as well, isn't he? Yeah. So that might be a factor as well. But yeah, I could see them maybe. I'd like to see them give Yota Tsuji a big win here, and it doesn't feel like he's on Tony Khan's radar as like one of the next big prospects in New Japan, who should be, if you're going to do a Forbidden Door concept, he should be in big matches, especially if we're doing it again next year. So I'd like to see a statement with
him. He should be in a big singles match with a young AW guy on the rise, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to go for the New Japan team here. I want to see Hiromu get a win. And yeah, there's a lot going on with the Lucha Bros. Yes, Hiromu was supposed to team with Sting and Co. On my first Forbidden Door. Yes, thank you, Jason. I was very disappointed.
You've always said that Hiromu is somebody who would get over massively with a Western audience, given the chance. Yeah.
Especially the type of audience that AEW attracts. There would be Daryls aplenty, I think, if Hiromu was given a big spot. Okay, well, now we have... Okay, we're on the main show now. Because we have the ladder match for the vacant AEW TNT Championship. We have Takeshita, Mark Briscoe, Jack Perry, Dante Martin, Leo Rush, and El Fantasmo. Ooh, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I would assume a vehicle for Jack Perry. But it's kind of open. And it being a ladder match, you know, yeah, you can kind of get away with going in any direction. They've done a great job of building up Jack Perry to be kind of that mid-card heel. It would make sense if he's in there, obviously in the elite stable and has a belt. So can't really see past him. The high on Leo Rush right now, high on Dante Martin right now, but that feels temporary just to get to the big ladder match and for those to be the guys doing the big spots. So, yeah, struggle to see past Jack Perry.
It feels too obvious, right? Because it feels too predictable.
Yeah.
I think the other person that they've actually been focusing on a lot is Mark Briscoe, just through the pure strength of his promos that are so well featured on Dynamite, because he's so entertaining.
Yeah.
But he's already got a belt, so him carrying another belt.
I mean, it doesn't stop AEW.
I know. I was going to say it would be very AEW.
Be Will Ospreay. Yeah.
Yeah. Takeshita. I mean, Platt says Takeshita, but who cares? Like, I actually wish Takeshita wasn't in this match because I just want him to be doing, singles stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he has a chance of winning because I think that the Elite are collecting belts as a stable.
Yeah.
They're belt collecting. And of all the people that should have won, it's got to be Jack. It's got to be like the young guy that you're focusing on and building up.
And I think it's the reason as well that he's not in the, you know, the tournament for All In.
Yes.
And they're pushing another Elite member.
Yeah. So I'm going to go for Jack Perry as well. I wasn't even against it when they handed him the belt on Dynamite when they were going to do that. I wasn't even against that.
Full Eric Bischoff, Triple H, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Jack Perry should be TNT champion. Jack Perry for me. Next up, we have the AEW Women's World Championship on the line. Timeless Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa. This is the storyline when it comes to Mina, Toni, and Mariah that has been getting a lot of TV time.
Yeah.
It's actually, there's a lot of criticism to be made for AEW's storytelling, and there was in the past a ton of criticism for the storytelling in the women's division, but this is something, like, whether you like the Toni Storm character or not, like, whether or not, like, that is for you, this has been well built, tons of TV time. They all have distinct characters. We know what's going on, so completely commend them for that. I can't see Toni Storm dropping this belt. Not to Mina, as great as she's been, and I hope she sticks around. I think Toni probably end up losing it to Mariah, or maybe like a returning Jimmy Hayter if they fit her into this.
Yeah.
So I think that Toni Storm retains. I think this match will be really good, though.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you know, there's a positive and there's a negative to going with somebody as like the linchpin division, and they've done that with Toni Storm. Whatever some of us may have thought of the character earlier on, I've cooled on it really. I'm kind of into what she's doing at the minute. I think she's, you know, pulled a couple of the worst elements of the character back and has been doing some great work. But she's had a lot of pay-per-view matches where it's just been Challenger of the Month, and there's no reason to believe she's actually gonna lose. And this is another one of those, but again, it's heavy on story. It's been a little bit weird with who's the heel, who's the babyface, with the Mariah stuff getting involved as well.
Yeah.
But I think people will be massively into it. Toni Storm will go over, obviously, but I think it'll be, again, a vehicle for more character stuff and was finally moving on with that story and maybe doing it.
Because what is good is that Mina is in the storyline and getting the match. When Toni challenged Serena Deeb, who's a very good wrestler, we were just focusing on Mariah and Mina as like the story rather than, so at least one of them is actually in the match. So
it's been a fruitful story. It's got Mariah over, it's gotten Mina over to this audience. I'm excited to see it.
Maria says, Toni is going to win. May is going to turn on Mina because of what happened on Dynamite. I think something will definitely happen with Mariah. I'm not saying it's going to be like a messy finish, but I think she's going to maybe make a choice between these two women.
Yeah, it'd be good for them to pick a lane and go forward with it, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Next, we're sticking with the women. It's the TBS Championship, Mercedes Moné versus Stephanie Vaquer. And this is winner takes all, actually. So the New Japan Strong Women's Championship that Stephanie has is on the line. How much have you seen of Stephanie Vaquer?
Obviously, she's been over it. Well, she's coming over here to the UK for Rev Pro and the Copper Box, and obviously the New Japan US stuff as well. She's another one people are going to be impressed by. I was glad they got her involved in this because...
Yeah.
Again, early on, Forbidden Door wasn't looking very Forbidden Door. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a coincidence we've gone through this card and not really mentioned many New Japan talent so far, because there's not many New Japan talent on here. But what you can say is from the start, it was very clear that they were going to be going in this direction. And obviously with the Stardom and New Japan news, you know, this is, you know, a New Japan wrestler. And this is, you know, a belt that Mercedes has got history with as well. So it makes sense from a story point of view as well. And this feels like a big Forbidden Door match. They've done a good job of making it feel special and making Stephanie Vaquer feel like an outsider. So that's all good. But when it's all said and done, Mercedes goes over, right? I mean, that's surely the one.
Does the winner take all give you any hesitation? Like, do you see Mercedes, like, defending on New Japan USA shows, going back to Japan?
She probably wants to. Like, yeah. Because that's the thing. I mean, is she really going to drop the TBS title as soon? They wouldn't have given it to her if she was going to do that. So, yeah, I presume so. That's probably the knock-on effect of what this will mean. It means New Japan get a bit more. And she's got unfinished business over there as
that's
well.
That's what I think.
She never got to do.
it's unfinished business because she was so hyped to go wrestle in Japan after WWE, and then it like sadly got cut short in that match with Willow, and then I guess she got to the point where, well, you have to sign somewhere, right? And it's going to be AEW. So if she can work this out to be the New Japan Strong Women's Champion as well, get to just do what she wanted to do before in Japan, but also appear on US TV, I think that's really cool. And I think it's actually going to be a really good match as well. I've been super impressed by Stephanie, you know, presentation. Us girls called Stephanie, like, we like to make an entrance and put on an
outfit. Can't confirm.
Like, I've been loving her presentation. I love everything I've seen of her, and I think this is going to be a really good match as well. Jason says Mercedes will get hit with every move by Stephanie and felt like a car accident. I'm here for it. Absolutely, like, she is going to bump in this match.
They're going to be wanting to steal the show. They're going to go crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, whether they will or not is a question, but
because we're at the point where there's four women's matches on the card, I think that's going to extra motivate like Mercedes to like show herself as she's not the women's champion. She's the TBS champion, but she wants to like put herself as the star of this division.
Absolutely. And
that's not just with how she looks, but with her in-ring as well. So yeah, Andy Ogden.
The more time she spends in the ring, the less promo she cuts. So
win-win. Andy says Bakura looked class, went over for Rebel.
Yeah,
I've only ever heard good things about her from, I've seen her on TV, but from like a live in-person perspective too, that she has a great presence.
Absolutely.
Okay, speaking of great presences, we got something opposite now. We have the Learning Tree. So Chris Jericho and Big Bill and Jeff Cobb, so not Brian Keith, but he'll be there, versus Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata.
Are we sure?
Yes. So this was really, really confusing. And if anyone has an explanation, like, put it in the chat. Because from watching Dynamite, and we did a bit of a rewatch of Dynamite this morning, it looked like Suzuki was challenging Jericho for Forbidden Door, which would make sense. You know, like two old guys from each company with a name going after fighting each other. And then that would also make sense with maybe Jeff Cobb coming in place of Jericho and Brian Keith being in, like, that being part of the trio. But it seemed like Jericho was he asking Suzuki to be on his team, and Suzuki said, no, I'll fight you.
Yeah, I'm with the chat. That's the first ever Jeff Cobb's involved here. I assume that's true, but I guess they're going to clarify it when it comes to the TV over the weekends. Maybe I haven't seen the spoilers, so maybe it was clarified over there, but you'd absolutely be forgiven because we watched the segment, and the way Minoru Suzuki words it is, I want to face you, Chris Jericho, for your FTW title. Like, that's literally what he says. Instead, and he uses that word too. So if anyone's any the wiser in the chat, let us know. But yeah, I think they'll fully clarify it over the TV over the weekend.
Okay.
We get to Forbidden Door.
Spoilers.
It's not on the AEW website, for one, I can tell you that.
Okay, spoilers, everyone. This is Collision.
A
little live spoiler read. Jericho cut a promo and was attacked by Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata. Jeff Cobb made the save for Jericho and will be teaming with Chris and Big Bill in the Forbidden Door match. So we're still not sure on the Suzuki thing, I guess. Mm. I guess Jericho has to get back to Suzuki. They are doing Dynamite in Chicago after this, like next Wednesday, which promises to be a big card, and that wouldn't surprise me if he had the Suzuki match on there, because they've done...
It sounds like a Dynamite match, doesn't it? Minoru Suzuki or Tomohiro Ishii come in, they get put over as a threat, and then they lose again. That kind of seems to be the booking of those guys, so expect that.
I think that too, Jason, that Cobb's had an open challenge at some point.
Yeah, he did say that.
Cobb said he was issuing an open challenge.
Yeah, one of the New Japan brasses, yeah.
Well, maybe he issued it and Tony was like, no, thank you. You can team with Chris Jericho.
Something's gone on. I think it's interesting though, Shibata mixing it up with New Japan guys, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that was the issue, you know, the idea that, like, if Suzuki was involved, and did the match, maybe it was the original plan and they didn't want Shibata to be working with New Japan guys. Maybe that's become a problem, but I guess you'll be in there with Jeff Cobb.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of this Learning Tree stuff at all. I just think it's really cringe. I think.
Yeah, you're not going to find fans here with this one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to defend him.
I'm not really excited for the match either.
What you miss is that the gimmick is that he's terrible.
Oh.
The segments are terrible. But the segments are still terrible, so yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? I guess if you're really, really bad and cringe at something, if you just tell people that you're meant to be really bad and cringe at it, and that you're, like, self-aware of this, then I guess you can do it on national television.
Pretty much,
yeah. So, anyway, who do you think's winning?
I don't care. I assume the Jericho team. Yeah.
Are you going to enjoy the concession stand or the bathroom?
Oh, we're
going to
have a great time.
Hopefully,
have like a nice little balcony like they had in the T-Mobile in Vegas.
Yeah, I hope they genuinely hope they have a smoking area. Mm. And if you're at Forbidden Door and you want to meet me, you can find me at the smoking area during the learning trip.
That's us, though. Look, should be said, watch the Buffalo Dynamite. It was one of the inexplicably one of the most over things on the show. So. I think everybody's very hard on one side or the other on that one.
Right. I think that I kind of feel like Jericho's team has to win, or what are these people actually learning?
Yeah.
And they always do something like sneaky with Brian Keith on the outside anyway. So, yeah. Too much time spent on that one. Up next, guys, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy. Is this just Orange Cassidy wins because Orange Cassidy always wins, or do you see anything deeper here?
I was glad they gave Zack Sabre Jr. singles win on Dynamite. I was kind of critical of that the week before in the multi-man not getting the win, because again, he's one of those wrestlers, Zack Sabre Jr. He just appears on Dynamite or sometimes ROH every now and then. Yeah. Sometimes he's got a belt, sometimes he doesn't. So you don't know what belt it's going to be at any given time. Mm-hmm. And he's so hot and cold, and it's hard to invest in wrestlers. I think that's a big AEW problem over time, not just with him, with the roster as a whole. So I'm glad they gave him that to set it up. But it does feel like one of those wins he got to then put over Orange Cassidy in, again, a very good match, depending on placement on the card as well. I could see this being up there as one of the best matches.
Cassidy wins a lot, and Tony loves him, but he is a consistently, like, good character in AEW, like, from day one.
Yeah.
Like, we've been through it all with Orange Cassidy. I think Orange Cassidy wins, but I do think this is going to be a really, really great match. Like, as Chris in the chat here says, ZSJ is a great wrestler. I love his submissions. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Orange Cassidy, because Zach's, like, character is so... serious, you know, he's such a like technician, and he's going up against this hands in his pockets guy who can actually really wrestle too.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be
one of those, though. It's a bit like the pay-per-view last month, where it's a very good match, or is it one too many very good matches? I just hope it's not the one that suffers, that we all at the end of it go, that could have been on Collision. That could have been.
That's how I felt about Cassidy's match at Double or Nothing, exactly. Honestly.
Feels like giving him a match for the sake of it and a win for the sake of it. For me.
You can have an AEW pay-per-view without Orange Cassidy on it, you know.
But he always delivers, he does, every time.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the same thing where, like, there's a Jericho match in every pay-per-view, but, like, Orange Cassidy getting one is, like, less offensive because he does always deliver. Now, here's one that might be a bit harder to predict. We've got Jon Moxley versus Naito for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. And let me tell you something, Benno. So this is New Japan's title, the IWGP title, on the line in this match.
Sure.
And you might think that the guy from New Japan holds this title.
Right.
But let me blow your mind. It's Jon Moxley. It's the guy from AEW. The guy from AEW on the Forbidden Door show has New Japan's title.
But this is the most Forbidden Door match. This is, if you were going to technically say, no, it's still Forbidden Door, it's still good. It's this, isn't it? It's an AEW guy versus New Japan guy. But this time for, you know, obviously a New Japan title. So it's got that going for it.
Yeah, I
do think that, like, the crowd on the Buffalo Dynamite, haven't really talked about it, they did not react one bit to the New Japan guys. If anything, the CML guys seem like they're getting better reactions from the AEW weekly TV audiences right now. But I do think when we're in Long Island and it's a New York crowd, they're going to know these guys. I think Naito's going to get a mega pop. And he's that one guy who's left in the absence of a card, or in the absence of Ospreay, in the absence of Jay White, even going back a couple of years, who feels like a top line big New Japan star. And I think that'll carry this and give interest. And I think it only exists for the purpose of putting the belt back on Naito.
Okay.
And having Moxley back fully in the AEW verse.
Do you think that Moxley's title run has been a success, this little kind of experiment of having it on the AEW guy?
Classic.
Has it been that eventful?
For who?
For who?
That's the question, isn't it? I think New Japan will be glad to get... The New Japan hardcores will be glad to get the belt back and back within the way they book things compared to the way Tony Khan likes to throw title shots on TV shows, really.
Yes.
So, yeah, obviously the belt was on Moxley to give it a bit of international prestige, I suppose. And, yeah, I think probably mixed is the word when it comes to whether that's worked or not. And, yeah, I think it'll probably just be time for reset. Have Moxley based in the US full-time again. Stop him having to take too many of those long flights, although he has got another one coming up. But I think that's a red herring, and yeah,
right,
belt back on Naito and go back to normal, and New Japan can continue to do their stealing booking that they always do.
They've been split in the chat. Like Maria says Moxley's gonna win, but Chris says Naito's gonna win. I think it's one of the hardest ones to predict, because it's almost kind of political, because it's like two different. You know, it's not gonna be Tony Khan booking the winner of this match. You know, really. I think it is for Naito. I think it's for Naito to win and get that belt back and have the New Japan belt in Japan full time. And now,
Do you think Naito will wear a t-shirt or not? That's the real bet.
If this man can't take his shirt off to wrestle for the IWGP Championship, what are we doing? What are we doing? So I hope he does take his shirt off. Yes. All due respect.
I think he'll put the effort in. Big crowd. He plays it up like he's not that interested in working in the US.
Yeah.
But he'll know this is a big spot. And again, the pressure of the entire concept of Forbidden Door, which I'm not 100% certain we're going to have this time next year, rests on these two guys' shoulders pretty much. So, yeah, I do think the crowd will be up for it, and it'll will it into something great.
I'm not a hardcore New Japan fan anymore. I was before AEW came along.
Can we talk about that? Do you think there's a missed opportunity when it comes to like the AEW wrestlers now who are ex-New Japan? You know, obviously, you know, we're going to get into what Okada's doing, but like there could have been a big Okada singles match here. There could have been a big Jay White on Dynamite. You know, the idea of Jay White now being on the AEW side against the New Japan guy, we're missing that opportunity as well. Obviously, Ospreay's in a bigger match on this show, but you could have gone that route there too. Like, I'm surprised they didn't do more of that.
Yeah, me too. But it's just where the concept is at right now is just like not great.
I guess it's who's on the other side of the ring is the problem.
It's who's on the other side of the ring.
Like I said, Naito's, it's a short list of people. You can tell Tony Khan feels like we do about Evil and Sanada and the other people who'd be the contenders to be in those big spots.
I think he's watching a big Evil singles match.
I think Tony Khan's watching as much New Japan as most of us are these days.
Yeah. But as far as like Moxley kind of it being a success, like I just don't really know, because it just feels like he comes out in Dynamite and he has that belt. And I think we think back to the days where that belt felt like the most prestigious belt in wrestling. And it doesn't feel like that.
It just feels like John Moxley's latest belt, doesn't he?
Yeah.
How many times have we done that with him? Challenger of the Week on Dynamite.
And he's pretty harsh here, but he says the coldest body of belt is that IWG possible. And hello to Cresta. Lovely to see you in the chat.
Mm.
I don't take Forbidden Doors seriously. Only if someone takes the title away from someone in AEW, says Bonkers LFC. I get what you mean, because it feels like lower stakes for the AEW guys, because it just, even though it's like Forbidden Door, it never feels like a 50-50 partnership, right?
Oh, no.
It always feels like AEW is actually in charge. Like, remember at the first one when Jay White was the champion, he was defending against Hangman and Okada, and I actually asked Tony if he ever thought about putting that on last, considering the AEW belt at that time was interim. He's just like, no. No. Okay, up next we have MJF versus Hechizero. I said it right today. Okay, MJF, go.
Why? This feels like one of those matches where MJF is determined to go out there, and in MJF's mind, it's like, this is the work rate pay-per-view. This is the one for the stickos. I'm going to show them I can technically wrestle. And I think it's going to be like with a wink and a nod to this what I imagine is going to be a massively partisan crowd. Well,
as Jason says, it's Long Island.
It's Long Island. That's the thing. I think a lot of people missed that when Forbidden Door was announced. And obviously, yeah, we're going to have our troubles getting to the arena. But outside of that, this was the move was obviously having MJF on this show.
Yeah.
It's just a strange place to have him. I think it's going to be a lot of that. It's got a lot of him winking to the crowd and showing them how great he is technically, mm-hmm. and just kind of having a bit of a laugh out there rather than him being in a higher up the card, more serious match. This feels like a Dynamite match. Hechavero's great. He is, and he's impressed when he's been on, mostly Collision, Rampage, those types of spots and the odd Dynamite, but it doesn't feel appropriate for MJF's spot on the card, especially in Long Island. It's just a really, if it's MJF's decision and MJF's call, it's a really weird call.
Yeah, to me, MJF, he's just like, he's very desperate for approval, you know, in every way. He's desperate to prove to you he's the best wrestler. Mm-hmm. He was desperate to come back and prove himself again after the negative reception that there was, you know, for his feud with Adam Cole. And here, yeah, I think he is going to be doing all that wink wink stuff like that. I don't like. I wasn't into his promo on Dynamite because I'm listening to it going, dude, you're still being a goofball. Like you're still like not that guy who
I was such a strange segment, wasn't it?
Like, so strange.
Existed to get, I understand, get Daniel Garcia and his scrappy underdog character over.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view on Sunday, lads.
I know. Yeah.
You know, strange.
But a pay-per-view on Sunday, that's a pay-per-view that they do with another company. Mm. So it's kind of like the canon of it. And it's always, and that's why Forbidden Door season is so hard. I mean, we'll get to the main event because that's not a Forbidden Door match.
And no.
That's like for the betterment of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't really taken to MJF again.
I want to give him a chance too.
I wanted to give him a chance as well, but it's still too goofy to me. It's still too cringe.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said my piece on the leather jacket. I think it's cringe. You know?
Just looks too big for him, though.
Yeah, he's not Danny from Greece. He's Sandy. He's Sandy when she puts on the leather jacket at the end, and you're like, "Oh, nice," but we don't actually believe you. That's what it feels like. He's cosplayed many different things. When I wish he would just actually be himself.
Yeah.
You don't need to be Triple H. You don't need to try and like look hard or whatever. Like, just be yourself. And then I don't know, but when all this goes downhill, he'll.
I agree with you. Much prefer MJF a heel. That's a bigger conversation. I don't like the ironic babyface.
Yeah.
But again, we're in Long Island. Like, it's gonna work, isn't it? It's gonna be again one of the last attractions of the night. It's what they're gonna want. Maybe after that, we can get down to some serious business with them.
Yeah, some serious business would be good. And I'm sure he's
got
a big match
Osprey.
In All In. Yes, they're teasing an Osprey direction for sure. So, winner MJF.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You see Hechizero going over there?
I would love the swerve of that. Mm. I would love the unexpected shock, but...
Adam Cole cost him the match or something.
Oh, don't.
Wouldn't shock you, would it?
The Forbidden Door should be locked for Adam Cole for this match. We can't have that coming back.
Keep him around.
We can't. Okay, up next we have the Elite, and that is Matthew Jackson, Nicholas Jackson, and Okada versus Scissor Ace. Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, yes, you know them as the acclaimed, and no, it's not Daddy Ass. No, you're not getting a Billy Gunn match, Benno. You're not getting Billy Gunn in the ring. They're not selling for anyone and not taking a pinfall. Instead, you're getting Tanahashi.
Jesus.
Okay, what do you think about this? They're trying to reheat the acclaimed for sure. I think that the acclaimed kind of fell down a lot, and now by putting them in with the Elite here in the mix of this, definitely trying to reheat them. Billy Gunn maybe showing a second of self-awareness by stepping back from this match?
I don't think that man has any self-awareness.
I don't know. Jericho wouldn't have done it. Billy Gunn did it.
Maybe somebody's tapped him on the shoulder and gone, yeah, mate, it was 22 years ago when you were a thing. More than that. But anyway, this one took me by surprise. Like, it is kind of, it's cool that Okada and Tanahashi are going to be sharing a ring again. Again, it felt a little bit what, like, politically, maybe they were going to keep Okada away from New Japan talent. And yeah. obviously Tanahashi being bigger than New Japan talent, and that probably makes it fine. Maybe he's trying to lead by example and work with Okada there. So that's cool. We're going to get it. We're going to get the retro spots, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to go nuts for that. We'll get a little bit of a few throwback things in the match as well. But mm-hmm. I'm guessing this was supposed to be FTR. And the Acclaimed have been
moved yeah.
into that position
since
Dax's injury. But yeah, I don't think there'll be anything to say about it as a match. I presume Tanahashi takes the fall, and it'll be more, books and a card or authority figure fun.
Authority figure fun. I still, just feel like they've let that storyline just become an absolute whimper, like since Anarchy in the Arena. But they're already promoting Blood and Guts. So we have Blood and Guts coming in. Do you see like the Acclaimed in Blood and Guts?
Maybe they'll have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. But which I.
That's where Billy Gunn will shine. Your juicy gusher.
Oh, he's gonna do like what he did to Chainsaw Charlie.
Oh,
to
yeah.
someone, you know. Like,
well, he would want to win too. So that would make sense.
Yeah.
He doesn't have jobs.
Billy Gunn all the way. I think the Elite are winning this. I don't think you can have. Kind of heel storyline.
Okay, Tanahashi's at a point now where, he's there to take the pin.
Like, no, actually, maybe I'm wrong because the Acclaimed are getting a tag title shot against the Young Bucks, and I would assume that the Young Bucks aren't dropping those belts, so maybe
the
scissor team get the win here for the Young Bucks to get the win over the Acclaimed.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm. Maybe. Well, at least there's like a little bit of...
Yeah, you go with that. We'll make it interesting. You go with that, and I'll stick with my choice, dailies.
Okay, so men's Owen Hart Cup Tournament first round match. We have.
Ryan. I keep thinking you're about to say the main event. This is so funny. What a card, ladies and gentlemen! My God.
You will look.
We're getting our money's worth, aren't we?
Look, I did see in the chat. I did see Apollo. He's paying $50 for the pay per view.
Yeah,
money worth.
That's the other argument. Isn't it?
That is absolutely like the other side of the argument, and some people will be overjoyed at the length of the card. It's just your perspective on these kind of things, like where like you land in it, and also like I'm coming from the perspective of someone that like goes to pretty much all these shows live and knows what it's like sitting in the arena and just being like fed more and more and more, like it's like being
sat in a hot room while Tony Khan takes up it.
Yeah. But and also, if I was to do it in catch up, I think it would be like pretty long too. Also in the
I always find that hard. But
if you feel like you're, because I'm not saying like anything against it when it comes to like Tony is 100% giving you your money's worth, and if you feel like you like $50 is a lot of money, so if you're like happy with that, then that's awesome and good for you, and like that you're the kind of person that Tony can. Has in mind, like you want to get every penny worth. Brian Danielson next versus Shingo Takagi, Owen Hart Cup Tournament. And I think Brian Danielson's winning this one. I think this is his tournament to win, surely.
Yeah, I think so. Like, depending on who the wild card is, because if it's Hangman Page, I think they go in that direction and it's Hangman Swerve. Mm-hmm. And when we get to the main event, we'll talk about the fact that I am enjoying that. Genuinely, it feels unpredictable.
Yeah.
The only thing that's not unpredictable is everybody else at this tournament. Outside of Jeff Jarrett, I don't see anyone other than Brian Danielson going further. And even Jeff Jarrett, they might give him a vanity run into the second round. But again, depending on who the mystery man is, that probably
won't happen. What if Nigel McGuinness is the mystery man?
Oh, please, no. I was front row for Nigel and Brian, but that was a long time ago. Can we leave the memories alone?
What if Nigel McGuinness's latest magic trick is getting himself a place in the Owen?
Headbutting a ring post again. Let's do that. Maybe he could do that on an ROH show if such a thing happened in the UK, but hopefully that's not the direction for All In. It does feel like, unless there's a big swerve coming and all Hangman's involved. In this tournament, and Brian's the guy, isn't he? So he's got to go over here. But the bigger thing for me is how great this match is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm glad at least that while it's limited pickings from the New Japan side, it's been recognized Shingo's the guy. If you want your in-ring banger, put him in there with Danielson. And, they've got history, obviously, going back years and years to like WXW and even I think Dragon Gate USA. They know each other. I know Brian will have wanted this match as well. Mm-hmm. He might want the Nigel match. Don't give him that. Give him this. I think he'll go over. And there is a story to be told there. If they're going to tease the Brian retirements, you could say Ospreay wins the main events. You could do Brian Ospreay at All In, maybe. Mm-hmm. There are multiple directions you could go here, but I don't see many other in the tournaments other than Brian.
And you always know you're getting a good match out of Brian. Yeah. And here he's got someone like genuinely a really great wrestler. And yeah, Slim Pickens in New Japan right now, but if you're going to give guys singles matches, Shingo would be right top of my list probably to give someone a big match. So
it's got a four-star floor. Plot's absolutely right. These two haven't got it in them. So I have a worse match than that. I'm expecting closer to five, genuinely. And that's a real five, an old school grapple five, not a Meltzer scale.
Not a Meltzer scale. Okay, finally, we're on the main event.
You going Brian, by the way?
I'm going Brian as well. Of course, it's his last Forbidden Door since Fernando. Well, we'll see about
that. It's all done, don't you? Like, yeah.
This is definitely
the story. Kids can stay in when they're old, but it'll be fine.
The story they're telling, they want you to at least think it's a sauce from Forbidden Door, right? Yeah. So 100%. Main event time. We have the AEW champion Swerve Strickland versus Will Ospreay. Oh, it's so hard to predict this one. How shocked were we when we found out this match was happening at Forbidden Door, when people were thinking that this is has to be the all-in match, right? Ospreay, Wembley, England. No, we're getting it in Long Island. We're getting it at Forbidden Door. This is one that we could spend all day debating, like the merits of both men and the merits of when to change the championship. I'm going to go with my heart, and I'm going to say Swerve, because I do want Swerve to keep his belt. I think he's got a really good thing going, and I want him to continue with that. And Ospreay is going to be absolutely fine losing this. What about you, Benno?
I think they booked themselves into a corner, but like my biggest issue with there's been a few issues with AEW over the last year, has been them not doing this enough and putting the big stars against each other. You know, I heard you and Wade Keller talk about it. It's a point I've always made. You know, the amount of Cody matches left on the table, the amount of Punk matches left on the table, the amount of Hangman Page matches left on the table that we never seem to get. You know, Omega as well. You never know. So I'm glad that, like, two of the hottest wrestlers in AEW are wrestling each other. I'm just so weirded out by the fact that it's not at all in, because it felt like a layup. And it felt like, obviously, after that reaction Ospreay got last year, that even us as British and Irish people, we were shocked by, you know, knowing Ospreay, didn't realize like an AEW audience would react to him that much. Mm-hmm. And it makes so much sense for him to be in the main event of All In. So I want to think they've got a plan. I want to think we're getting this now and not All In because there's an even better idea, whether that's Ospreay still got the belt, Ospreay wins the belt and goes in as champion. I could see that. They could go to a rematch. I guess you'd have the problem of the Owen, or they could go to Brian or the mystery person in the tournament with Ospreay. So I don't rule out Ospreay winning. Like, head kind of says Swerve, I think, because again, the Sophie's choices. Swerve has been he's a world champion. He's still establishing as a top line guy, and you don't want to cut his legs out this early. But at the same time, it's all in coming up, and you want Ospreay in the main event. So they might have to make that hard choice. I'm leaning Ospreay now, and I think that probably goes against the better odds as well, but I'm leaning Ospreay. I think he wins.
Now, do you see this being clean? Or because, you know, Double or Nothing, I think we had 27 Don Callis appearances. So do you see Don Callis, Prince Nana, anyone like that doing something that makes this not a firm
That's
finish?
What they've set up. So obviously, if Ospreay doesn't win, I guess it's going to be something to do with that, where, the Callis family get their big revenge for Ospreay somehow still being in the stable after all this time. And again, that could be the explanation for why he's been in the stable this long. But if they have Ospreay lose here, what do they do with him at All In? Like, what's the plan? I think Ospreay should be the first thing on your list.
MJF?
In a non-title match, maybe.
Yeah.
You could do that. And then maybe, say it's Hangman in the tournament, you do Hangman and Swerve that way. That would be the logical booking way to get to it. But again, I like that there's a few different possibilities coming out of this. I don't think anybody's 100% sure. I think more people clearly think Swerve's going over than Ospreay, but none of us really know what they're thinking in this. No. And I think that's good for AEW. Often things are too predictable.
Yeah, it's because there's, been so much talk about different things in AEW, like storytelling and whatever, but at least what we're getting at the top of the card here, like, I do think it's a good story. I do think it's very intriguing. I do think it's really hard to predict. Fernando says AW did an excellent job building this match and making it very unpredictable. Absolutely true. They go on to say Swerve wins with a lot of outside interference. I don't want that. Like, I don't want the outside interference. And I'm hoping that the Callis mention was kind of a red herring of us all having like a moan of, no, not Don Callis getting involved. And
yeah, it felt so on the nose, didn't it? I think the guarantee, though, is this going to be a big, great match. And this is going to be, again, as you want to, we're in a rebuilding period with AEW right now, quite obviously.
Yeah.
And you need a lot of time over the years. AEW haven't gone with the hot hands. They probably went with Swerve a little bit late. Osprey, they've moved into this top position, you know, very quickly, and they've focused the shows around these two guys, and that's something they should be doing, and something they've been doing well the last few weeks. It has been quite well built for a big AWL title match. Didn't love the tag partners who will they get along thing we did on Dynamite this week, but everything leading up to it, it's felt like two big time main character main eventers going at it for the world title. Like, that's the way wrestling should be booked. And yeah, if it wasn't Forbidden Door, that would be perfect. It's a little bit weird it being on a Forbidden Door show, but I'm not complaining that we're going to get to see it live in person.
Lost Rhino says, about All In, I think it's MJF Ospreay for international title, Swerve Danielson for the world title.
That would make sense.
But also that sounds good too. Mm. So I don't feel like we're going to, you know, feel like done by what we get.
Mm.
It's just hopefully like it will be the best thing for everyone.
Mm.
And I'm really conscious of it being a good thing for Swerve. Yeah, too.
I like what Maria's put here as well about possibly Hammer makes a surprise turn across the way of the match. You could do that.
I'd rather see, if anyone's going to interfere, I'd rather see it be Hangman than Callis, not just because I don't like Callis, but just because of that story.
Because it's so weird.
The Hangman Swerve story is...
They did the Virginia Dynamite and Hangman didn't show. Like,
yeah.
Again, if he was going to be in this tournament, sure.
But there's another Virginia Dynamite coming up before.
Oh, is that?
There was one in August. So that makes me think but that's why I think he's not the guy in the Owen either.
Right. I'm going to wait till then.
Yeah. Because I think the guy in the Owen is going to be like, it's going to be like disappointing. It's going to be like Sammy Guevara or something.
It's like Shawn Michaels, isn't it? In 1998 when he was out of WWE and every pay-per-view, it was like, is this the one Shawn Michaels is coming back? We do it with Hangman every month and he's probably going to be, I have nothing to do with any of this. We can live in hope though.
We can live.
That's AEW's main character. I want to see him back.
Okay, so if I give you $100 right now and you were told to go to betonline.ag to put money on the main event of Forbidden Door, who are you putting it on, Swerve or Ospreay?
I think I'll get better odds on Ospreay, so I'll go with it.
Ospreay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting my money on Swerve.
You want to bet?
Yeah, sure. 100? I think we can get
100 Canadian, though. It's a little bit
100
less.
Canadian, for sure.
Mm.
All right, guys.
Got to go with exchange rates.
Benno, thank you so much for being here with me
literally
on
here.
The show. Literally here.
It was either me or the cat, so, you know.
It was either you or the cat. I mean, I always, always invite my guests to onto my place, but only one of them has flown the whole way to Toronto to make this happen. So thank you, Benno.
Yeah, I've been fighting to make this appearance. I lost my voice this week, so I'm glad it's back.
Yeah.
I'm excited to do this with you, Steph. Feel confident about podcasting again. But yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Can you please tell everyone where they can hear more of you and your very British takes?
Thank you, yeah. This is actually quite positive for me because I am looking forward to the pay-per-view. Maybe it's because we're going. Maybe it's because genuinely, I think, despite the, you know, obvious fall in numbers and overall interest in AEW, the last 3 weeks of TV have been genuinely good. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite excited for it. So, yeah, if you want to hear some positivity mixed with negativity on YouTube, we're youtube.com/@grapple. That's our Grapple Wrestling Podcast. You can watch our spotlight episodes of the guys doing a sterling job holding the fort while I'm away. And yeah, we're on Spotify, we're everywhere, podcasts are sold, and I'm on Twitter if you like British men complaining, twitter.com or
x.com/@BensonRichardA.
Get me over there.
Yeah, there's great weekly shows on Grapple that cover all the pay-per-views, AW and WWE, Dynamite, everything like that. And then over on Patreon, a lot of retro stuff as well, if you're longtime fans. But yes, thank you so much, Benno.
Definitely, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I, of course, am Stephanie Chase. And if you want to hear something I've done recently, head over to the PW Torch, because the Tuesday flagship was myself and Wade Keller. And we actually discussed Why people might be not so high on AEW right now. We had actually did a poll with, we broke down the poll of what people said was kind of turning them off. But we didn't just talk about that. We talked about everything else going on in the company and everything going on in WWE as well. And also up on the Pro Wrestling Torch YouTube channel, me and Weird have a 12-minute hot take as well where we discuss AEW. I will be back. Guys, I'll be back next week with the predictions for Money in the Bank.
Be sure to
show up. In Toronto. That will be much shorter, but we're also going to be at Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
too.
Excited.
So anyway, go subscribe to my YouTube, Stephanie Chias Wrestling. Follow me on Twitter at Stephanie M. Chias, where you can hear all my views on the wrestling and my experience at Forbidden Door. Follow me on Instagram if you want the photographic experience of Forbidden Door. And as I said, I will be back with you guys next week. Thank you, betonline.ag. Everyone, enjoy the show, no matter how long it is. Bye.
Have a great weekend.
Prime Day is coming July 16th and 17th with epic deals exclusively for Prime members. You'll feel like you just won an award.
Oh, wow. I didn't even prepare a speech. I'd like to thank my family for always needing stuff. Also, Sam, my delivery guy, for bringing all my awesome deals so fast. You're the man, Sam!
Shop deals on electronics, home, and more this Prime Day, July 16th and 17th.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices. All in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5. Then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.